This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. We're live. What's up, my brothers? Episode number 71 of the Before the Train Wreck series, the only show on the internet that helps guys avoid making a train wreck out of their lives. I got to tell you, this is, I had a call about a week ago, so I'm going to dedicate this broadcast to this gentleman. I'm just going to call him Bill. We're not going to use his real name, but guy was alpha as hell in his prior relationship, but got entangled with a single mommy and didn't end well. Best friend ended up, she ended up lying to him left, right, and center. Best friend ended up laying pipe. He ended up being used and he was in a bad shape when I started chatting him to fix him up. But I got these six risks, which most guys don't, they don't even see it. It's not even on the radar screen for them, if we're being honest. Yeah, thanks guys. As you're watching live, just give it a thumbs up and do me a huge solid. I'm just going to drop the YouTube link in the general chat here. Click that and come on over to YouTube and watch it over there. It just helps me out a ton with the algorithms. Yeah, so back to the point, a lot of guys, they really just get, it's just totally in their blind spot. They don't see any of this. They get distracted. They end up manufacturing reasons why they should entertain it. And they go ahead and complicate their lives and justify why they do it. So, I'm going to open up my notes a little further down here and hop right into this. I'm also going to deal with when it might be ideal to start dating or get involved with a single mother, because I often get criticized. Well, it can't all be bad. All women can't possibly be like that rich. Got it. Let's talk about that part too, because there's an opportunity for consideration there. I just wanted to say this. I've been listening to this book. I don't have my phone here. It's an audio book. Can't remember the guy's name. I think it's The Evolution of Desire. If I could try to recall the author's name, I'd let you know. But I'm going to add it to my Amazon bookstore, pinned in the top comment. One of the things that I was listening to earlier today, they were talking about how in combat, some tribes, if a father dies and he has children, they'll actually terminate the children's lives as well if the father dies, because the chance of the children surviving is so slim. They figure it's best to just let her start over if she can and end it for those kids there along with the father, and they just have like a mass burial for it. But it's an interesting dynamic when you start paying attention to the intricacies of the sexual marketplace, the values between men and women, and especially in today's world, because it's very, very common. I mean, I got divorced at 38, 9-ish or so. And I remember re-entering the sexual marketplace after being with the same woman for like 7 years. I was married for like 3 and change. But just being surprised at how many women had kids in tow. That's it. Dr. David Buss, Evolution of Desire. Great book. Highly recommend you guys listen to it. It will be added to the Amazon bookstore. Thanks for that, Neil. It's very common. I remember when I was 32 or so, or around 32, 33, before I got involved in that relationship, There were some, there weren't a lot, but they were pretty easy to avoid. Today, it's if you're an older guy and you're dating around your age, I mean, if you're divorced, if you're 40, 35, 40, 45 or so, most guys will just look around and be like, well, that's all we got. That's all the options that I have. So let's just suck it up, buttercup, and see if we can make the best out of it. And I've talked to a lot of guys that have tried to make the best out of it that really just made a total train wreck out of their lives. So in this broadcast, I'm going to show you what those six important risks are and how not to make a train wreck out of your life. And I myself, you know, I'm one of these survivors of making a train wreck out of my life in single mommyhood. So let's dive into this. Let me grab that super chat from Neo. Hit the like button, gents. Again, thank you for that. Helps me out a ton. So the first one, which a lot of guys will try to defend or even try to avoid, and I'm going to see if I can pull up this article here because it was mentioned as I was doing some research for my book. This is all pretty much straight off the chapter out of my book. I'm just going to distill it for the purpose of this video. Here we go. There's an article here called The Case for Being a Cuck, Believe It or Not. And, oh, look, it's got a picture of Ivanka Trump looking at Justin Trudeau. Let me share the screen so I can just put it up here for you guys briefly. They actually write articles about this, The Case for Being a Cuck. And you can just Google this. Just search it on news. It's available on, looks like GQ magazine online. So this is like pushed out in the mainstream media. It's pretty much accepted, common. It's even celebrated in some cases, but it does exist. And when you get involved with a single mommy, you have to understand that you're signing up for your own cuckoldry. You might ask, what is a cuck? What does cuckoldry mean, Rich? Here, I'll dig you up your definition and give you the dictionary version. They have a bird called the cuckoo. They even have TV shows based off it as well. Dictionary meaning, cuckold is an insulting term for a husband whose spouse has had a sexual affair. Cuckoldry can mean one of two things: the act of making a man a cuck by having an affair, or the state of being a cuckold. If you dig further into the Webster definitions, you can also see that it's inclusive of raising another man's child. Sometimes it's known, sometimes it's unknown. One of the stats that I pulled up doing some of the research when I was putting the book together was the rate at which married men who believe that the children that they are raising are in fact their own are cucked is somewhere between 10 and 30%. It's nearly impossible to establish what the accurate numbers are because the act of cuckoldry in a marriage or in a relationship relies on deception. So nobody's going to volunteer, oh, by the way, this is not your kid. I had this with Kevin from sales or Steve from accounting. She just goes about it. And, you know, look, she understands paternity, right? Paternity is insured because she births the child. The father does not have the option to insure paternity unless he takes a paternity test to ensure that the offspring is his. But believe it or not, even in a married scenario, even in a couple, the instances of cuckoldry are somewhere between 10 and 30%. And all that data will be in another chapter of my book. I'm not going to spend any time on it in this broadcast. But again, society today celebrates what this is. And in my view, it's nothing to celebrate. Looking at articles titled The Case for Being a Cuck, in my view, is disgusting. You don't have the opportunity to pass on your last name. There's no genetic legacy to pass down. And these 2 points have historically been the biggest selling points to men for fatherhood. This is why they would normally do it, right? So when you get involved with a single mommy, especially with small kids, you are, in fact, signing up for your own cuckoldry. You're walking into it knowingly what you're doing. To add insult to injury, women overwhelmingly have primary parenting of children, the vast majority of time, and men don't. So if you're a divorced father, and this is going to come into play for a lot of guys, you know, 35 plus or so, if you're a divorced father, you might actually end up in a scenario where you spend more parenting time some other man's children than your own. So just let that settle in. So that's the first risk, risk number one. Let's talk about why men go for single moms. It really boils down to two reasons. I mean, you know, we can broaden this and go into a whole bunch, but in my view, it really boils down to two. There's a lot of women with children in tow by the time you get older. The older you get, the more you're going to find women with children in tow. We've been incredibly bad as a species at monogamy. We're quite promiscuous, sapiens are anyway. The most promiscuous species on the planet, believe it or not. But we're quite bad at staying together. And it's equal parts. You know, there's parts that come through society, through the state getting involved in your household and your marriage, through, you know, the changes over time with the different waves of feminism and so on and so forth, men's choices, women's choices. But the best interests of kids are not really particularly put at the forefront, at the center. We kind of do what's right today. And a lot of people we don't do what's right. We do what feels good today. And a lot of people in marriages, and we know that something like 70 to 80% of marriages or relationships end because women leave. It's typically not the guys. It's typically just the women. When guys leave, it's because things are pretty bad. But, you know, you split up a family and take the kids in tow with you. There's a lot of incentive to have the kids in tow with you as a woman. Everything in family law is essentially written to benefit her. It doesn't encourage her to behave well or in the best interest of the kids. It encourages her to optimize her hypergamy and make sure that she can get the best deal possible. So part of that is, you know, throwing the kids in the mix. So you're going to have a lot of women out there today on the dating marketplace that have kids in tow. The other reason why guys get involved with these women is it's just low hanging fruit. They don't have any other options. They're not high enough value that they can say no at 40 and date women under, you know, the epiphany phase under 27, 28 or so. They don't have the option because of where they are and some of the choices they've made in life. And we already know that the vast majority of the male population is pretty much beta, you know, 70, 80% of the male population doesn't have that option. So single moms become low hanging fruit and they're healthy guys. They have healthy testosterone levels. They want to get involved with women. They want to be intimate. So they look around and they say, okay, fine, let's give this a try. So again, the first risk is cuckoldry. Yeah, I'm seeing some notes here popping up. Somebody was talking about blended families there. I'll bring that up in one of the points here as well. So the second point I want to hit on is responsibility without authority. Now, when you get involved with a single mommy, you have the same parental responsibilities as the biological father, but without any of the authority of a parent. Generally speaking, if you're raising kids together with a woman and they're your kids, let's assume that they're your kids. Most guys even struggle in that environment to have any authority as the head of the household. They're generally not the head of the household. It's more of a, in today's world anyway, most guys kind of succumb to a more equal or egalitarian type of household. You know, we just want to be equal around here and treat everybody the same. And they don't want to run the frame of the relationship. They don't want to lead the family. They don't want to be the head of the household, or they can't be, one or the other. So even in a two-parent household, assuming that the children are his, men often struggle to begin with. But when you sign up for your own cuckoldry and get involved with a single mom and raise another man's children, you have the responsibility of the biological father, but without any of the authority of the parent. So you'll have responsibility for birthdays, travel, holidays, ski trips, the beach. The list goes on and on and on. It just is completely endless. You'll be looked upon to fill the role or the shoes of daddy, and your personal financial resources will be welcome. But at some point, if there's a grievance, if one of the kids don't like something that's going on, you'll probably eventually hear something along the lines of, you're not my father and I don't need to listen to you. And along with that comes some manufactured indignation. They will be our kids when she needs you, but her kids when you need to discipline them or enforce boundaries. I've seen this firsthand. I've lived it when I got into my own stupidity with the single mommy that I got involved with for about 3 years or so. You'll find at some point they will push back because they don't like the boundaries enforced by you, and they'll act out in many cases in a manufactured way. It's completely made up. It's not warranted. And the mom will side with the bad behavior because of feels. You know, feels trump reels when you decide to get involved with a single mommy and raise another man's kids. So you just have to remember that when you get involved in that sense, they're always going to be our kids when she needs you and your financial resources, your attention. Little Billy needs help zeroing in the scope on the BB gun you got him for Christmas. Guess who's doing that, right? But when you need to enforce boundaries if something's going sideways or one of the children are behaving wrong, they're her kids and you're not allowed to enforce them, or there's limited enforcement opportunities for you. Now, if you're a single father, you will learn that when your kids need something, so let's say you're divorced, you got kids as well, your children will never be ours, but selectively yours. Yet most men discover that women want authority over his kids without responsibility. So again, if you're the man, you've got responsibility without authority. If you're the woman, you get involved with a single mom, she's got a couple kids in tow, let's say you're a divorced dad, you got one or something like that. She's going to want authority over your kids, but no responsibility, right? So this is a very, very interesting dynamic, and I've seen this play out over and 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 over again. I've done dozens, probably close to well over 100 consults with guys dealing with exit strategies, trying to get divorced from a single mom, dealing with one-itis, heartbreak, stuff like that. I've seen it myself as well. So again, this doesn't apply to all women, but on a balance of probabilities, these six risks that I'm mentioning here, you've got to be aware of them. Let's move on to the next one, number three, the victim mindset. Let me grab that super chat from Neo. Thanks. Yeah, I have a video on my channel about Breuvel's Law. And you should go look it up. Just search on Entrepreneurs in Cars on YouTube and then put in what is Breuvel's Law and you'll come across the video. But essentially, Robert Breuvel, I think he was a French doctor, if I recall. I'm going to have to go searching on Wikipedia, but he did a lot of research on the animal kingdom, and he noticed that the female in the animal kingdom determines the length of the relationship. Let me just quickly dig it up because it's more eloquently put the way that Breuvel's Law. He's a French surgeon. Okay, so Breuvel's Law maintains that the female, not the male, determines the conditions of the animal family. Where the female can derive no benefit from association with the male, no such association takes place or continues. Today we would say relationship rather than association, but that's the essence of it. He's basically saying the moment she no longer sees any value in having you around, she will not be around, essentially. So you can go watch that video. There's a bit more of a breakdown on that topic there. I found that to be an interesting concept that rings true and is consistent. Okay, let's talk about victim mindset. I've seen this play out a lot, too many times. When I say a lot, too many times. They often brag on social media about how strong, independent they are and how they don't need a man. Okay, we're talking about the social narrative that we hear today, you know, from women. But in the next breath, they turn to the government for handouts or their children's father for financial support. Now, the children should be supported by the father. I don't question that. The amount of support that is often redistributed from the father to the mother does not amount to what's required to support children in most cases. There's no child in the world that needs $50,000 a month, yet there are fathers paying $50,000 a month in child support, right? But that's how the courts operate today. So back to this third point on mindset. A lot of single moms would complain to me when I was dating about the father of their children. Often heard them use disparaging terms like he's a loser, he's dumb, he's a deadbeat, he was beta, or he was boring. Any one of those were pretty common. I would often ask them why they married him or had kids with him, and their face would turn to stone as if to say, how dare you hold me accountable for my choices? There's frankly no ownership when it comes to choices. So you have to understand that this is just going to be kind of par for the course. It's not often exempted. There are some exemptions, but it's not often exempted. The other thing that you got to understand with the mindset component of this when you get involved with single mommies is I've never met a single mother that wasn't a self-proclaimed feminist. Now, I don't date feminist-looking women, okay? Typically, the optics look something like short blue hair, face piercings, tattoos, and rotund. But there are feminine-looking women that are self-proclaimed feminists still. You know, they have feminine-looking feminists, if you will. But the problem with the ideology is to identify as a feminist, you must have an oppressor. Okay, and every woman oppressed is a victim when it comes to the feminist logic. You can't be a victim without an oppressor. So there's something manufactured. It doesn't matter if it was my dad when I was growing up. My husband was a loser. He cheated on me. He was dumb. He was unable to provide for the family. You know, insert whatever reason. But there's no ownership for, well, I chose to, you know, wife him up or husband him up sort of thing. There was no ownership along that line. It's just he became inadequate. Earlier to the point of Brefault's Law, again, you know, women will only keep a guy around so long as he's useful. The moment he becomes or no longer is useful to her, hypergamy kicks in, she goes looking for another opportunity. And that's a requirement of survival for women and her children. It's an evolved, it's just hardwired. And to be honest with you, I'm just going to put it to you like this. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way they're hardwired. If they weren't hardwired that way, they wouldn't have survived. They wouldn't have the opportunity to give their kids what they need. So it's just an adaptive, evolutionary type of behavior. You just have to understand it as a guy that it's par for the course if you're going to get involved with a single mommy. Let me grab a couple of these super chats here real quick. Santiago Garcia, there's no good reason to get involved in a long-term relationship with a single mom. It's like knowingly putting a hand in a bag full of snakes, hoping to find 5 cents. He's had some experience. He's obviously speaking from experience. Now, the victim mindset requires her to be unhappy, unlucky, and oppressed. I found out firsthand when I started dating after my divorce, how these women, how hard done by, they'd claim that they were, their kids were, it was always somebody else's fault. The other problem with that too is, I mentioned earlier, you have responsibility, but you don't have authority. If there's a conflict and you're trying to enforce boundaries with her kids, you're going to find that her kids are also going to adopt this ideal set, this mindset. One of the big complaints I hear from a lot of guys today that were raised in single mother households is the absence of a strong, masculine, virtuous male role model. So they default to these types of beliefs and mindsets, more specifically the victim mindset. So I'll give you an example. I tried to enforce a boundary once with my single mommy type of relationship. Kid acted out, made up what was nothing short of a lie, basically manufactured indignation, which is something that we've seen women do. And the mindset, where did it come from? It's a learned behavior. You know, kids learn these things. You know, you can't get mad at a 7 or a 10-year-old for the behaviors or the decisions that they make because it's all learned behavior from the parents. So where do you think he's going to get that from, right? He or she's going to get it from the mommy. So you have to understand that's a strong element of one of the risks that you're going to have to deal with. So if something doesn't go their way, they'll emotionally manipulate the mother. And of course, she turns into mama bear and she swoops in and wants to protect those kids from the big bad guy that doesn't happen to be the kid's father, but he's the useful idiot that can, you know, be an ATM when she needs resources or help with things. Let's hop into the next one. We're making good time here. Guys, if you're enjoying the broadcast, smash that thumbs up button. Helps me out a ton, please. Thank you. Let's talk about financial matters. Now, What I noticed, and what I've noticed with a lot of the consults that I've done, is most men discover that single moms gravitate to professions like nursing, teaching, dental hygiene, daycare work, beauty salons and products, stuff like that. As a high income earner, you're not going to find a lot of women that come anywhere close to the level of pay that you can earn. Kevin from sales making $250,000 a year. Steve from accounting is the CFO making $200,000 a year. It's a lot of money. You get involved with a nurse, a dental hygiene assistant, or a teacher, they're making a lot less than that. They're making less than $100,000 in most cases, which is still a reasonable income, but you know, they're just nowhere near where you are. You're going to find it difficult to find, men come into their stride on the sexual marketplace, like their value increases over time. Women are, this is an observation by Dr. Warren Farrell, who wrote many, many books on the subject over many, many years, but it boils down to this. Men are viewed as success objects by women. Women are viewed as beauty objects by men. Both of those things go on the decline at some point, but for women, beauty will decline after the age of about 23 or so. Okay, they don't want to hear this, they don't want to believe it, but at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is their fertility is at its peak at that age, and they're going to be their hottest at that age at the end of the day. After that, it's on the decline. Can you push that back? Can you delay it? Can you do things that will accelerate it? Sure. You know, you start partying, drinking gallons of wine, smoking cigarettes, not sleeping, not taking care of yourself, and not eating properly, you're going to be gross pretty fast. You can push that off, of course, and there's some very attractive women, you know, in their 30s and 40s and 50s and so on and so forth, that have maximized, but nowhere near what they looked when they were 23 years old. And on the other hand, when it comes to guys, their sexual marketplace value peaks usually in their late 30s. That's usually when they're best looking, and they're also at the top of their game financially. It's not uncommon to, you know, for me to talk to guys in their early 40s, sometimes even 50s, that are still quite handsome, distinguished looking. They make bank, you know, they know how to make it rain. They're still quite physically fit. Of course, because, you know, women birth children, it does a number on their body, whereas on the other hand, men don't. So they have that advantage as well. So, you know, there's differences between men and women, and that's okay. You just have to understand what they are. But when it comes to the financial issues, you're going to discover that there really just aren't as many financially well-off single moms. They're not living in five-bedroom, 5,000-square-feet house, driving nice German cars with a boat at the marina or anything like that. They're often living in the matrimonial home that they inherited through the marriage. He ends up moving out and getting his own place. She's driving a 15-year-old Mazda minivan or something like that. It's just par for the course, right? Let me grab the super chat real quick. Ben Heal says, one thing rarely mentioned is the alpha dad that remains after divorce. In most cases, I'm guessing MN is Minnesota, are 50-50. Not only is the authority gone, but the alpha is still calling the shots remotely. I didn't include that in the six risks here because for the most part, I'll be honest with you, Ben, I've noticed that women tend to divorce betas. So they're not going to be calling shots. Or I didn't find, me personally, from my own experience, that they were calling shots in my own way. Is it an issue? Yeah, of course. I mean, there's some other dude around, always. And you're raising his kids. And in some cases, you might even be spending more time with his kids than he gets to, if she's got primary custody, right? So that's just part and parcel of it. You could make a list of two or three dozen of potential risks. But these are the six main ones that I want to focus on. So back to the financial issues. We talked about the differences in income and lifestyle. You will inevitably be called upon to pay for her life and her children's. Now, I've had a lot of coaching calls with guys that have paid off her debts, student loans, maybe mortgages, maybe car loans, bought her kids' cars, not just one, kids, sometimes kids from, you know, three kids from two different fathers in some cases. And paid for college tuition. It's quite common for the uninitiated men to make themselves less so she and her children can become more. Let's go on to the reprioritization, and then we'll talk about the big risk, and then I'll get into when it might be ideal to date a single mom. Don't worry, I've got some good news out there for you guys. I don't want you all to get upset. Oh, Rich just doesn't like, he's mad, he's been hurt, butt hurt, or something like that. You guys will see it in the comments, so if you're watching the recording, scroll down in the comments, and you'll see the anger and seething resentment, mostly pointing and sputtering at me specifically. You'll see it, watch for it. Let's talk about reprioritization. That's expected of you as a man when you get involved with the single mommies. You will never be her priority. I'm just going to say it again. Guys, if you get involved with a single mommy, you will never, ever, 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 ever be her priority. Ever, ever, never, ever, ever, ever. You guys know the song. Most men find their place in a pecking order behind her needs, her kids' needs, her work issues. You know, Becky from HR department that's busting her chops over something, her big wine drinking nights, her book club nights, her sisters and her salsa nights dancing out, then her cat. And then you get to be number 7, 8, 9, or 10. I'll tell you, I've seen episodes where I knew this one, woman and man, she had a kid in tow from a prior marriage. And so single mom, I think he was like under 10. And she had another kid with this new guy that she was dating. So she had two different kids from two different fathers at this stage, both under the age of 10. One was a baby, a toddler, and the other one was like 7 or 8 or 9 years old or something like that. And she would go out salsa dancing, leaving him to take care of her child with him and the child of another man while she would go out seeking the attention and adoration of other men in a salsa club. And he would let it happen because, again, when you get involved with a single mommy, you sign up for your own cuckoldry. You will often be expected to make your hobbies, your passions, less of a priority so you can focus on hers. There's an old adage. A lot of people say women are dream killers, and they can be if you let them. You know, if you let them reprioritize your life, which is bound to end up happening if you get involved with a single mom and you can't hold frame, which most guys can't, to be honest with you. And it's quite difficult, as I've mentioned and as I've pointed out in some of these other points, because of all the reasons, you will find that your dreams will be killed off and you will have to become less so she can become more as you raise the children of another man. A lot of guys have made comments in videos that I've done in the past on this topic, around one certain point. And they often point to the animal kingdom and other tribal concepts. And like I mentioned earlier, that book by David Buss about how, you know, in combat, if a father dies in a lot of tribal communities, they'll just kill off kids too because they've got a very, very low chance of survival. In many animal kingdoms, the dominant alpha that disperses the current head of the pride, let's say, if it's a lion pride or something like that, one of the first things that they'll do, this also happens in primates too, by the way, is they'll go around and they'll terminate the offspring of the exiting pride leader. That's what they do. And many men have pointed that out. It's not natural. It happens in the animal kingdom, usually deceptively. That's where the term cuck came from. It's a type of bird that basically drops its eggs in other birds' nests, and it just flies away, and it lets it deal with raising them and bringing the food and sitting on them and hatching them and all that sort of stuff. That's where the term actually came from, but. Yeah, it's an important thing to consider is a reprioritization of your own life that you're going to have to eventually come to terms with. Tuscan says in the chat, rejecting or avoiding, let me put this up on the screen, you can look down at this. Rejecting or avoiding available single mommies can have repercussions. Church people look down on you when you purposely avoid dating these women. Well, I can tell you why that is. Because church is feminized today. It's no longer led by strong masculine men. It's feminized. You know, you're expected to wife them up, to swoop in and be a captain that saves this woman. She may have made some bad choices in her life, In some cases, some guys will be like, well, Rich, come on, that's kind of harsh. You know, what if she was widowed? The same thing still holds true. The only difference is the father's not around. I mean, one of the scenarios, which is not the one that I want to specifically get to when it might be ideal to date a single mom, but let's say she's a widow and she's got a couple kids in tow. He was a war hero. His plane was shut down. He exploded in midair. He's gone. You know, he's dust. Dad is poof. And along comes Lieutenant. He steps up to the plate and he wants to, you know, get involved with, you know, his wingman's wife and kids. He's not going to have to deal with anybody else interfering. And let's say he's unable to have kids and he wants to step up to the plate and do that. And I see a lot of guys, you know, mention that, well, what if she's a widow? What if you do this? What if, okay. You're still going to run into a lot of these other issues that I've mentioned here that you wouldn't run into with a woman that doesn't otherwise have children in tow. Let's deal with the big risk, and then we're going to talk about when it might be ideal to get involved with the single mommies. So you have something warm and positive to wrap up this broadcast on. Now, here's the big risk that most people don't consider. Most guys won't consider. Let's say you get involved with a single mommy. She's got a couple of kids, two or three kids. They're all boys. At some point, boys will go through puberty. Now, for those of you out there that have not been through puberty yet, or might be of another gender that does not go through male puberty, it's somewhat of an interesting phase in boys' lives. Their voice starts to crack. It gets deeper. They all of a sudden get boners all the time when the wind blows, sitting at a table having dinner. It's not uncommon for them to start keeling over. Hey, Richard, can you come up to the board here and work out this problem? Just be like, no, that's okay. I'll just take the zero sitting here. You guys ever see that Eddie Murphy stand-up skit? You know what I'm talking about, right? That's okay. I'll just take the zero. But there's a big risk that's involved if you're a father with a daughter or daughters in tow and you blend families. Somebody mentioned earlier, you know, talk about blending families and all that sort of stuff. This is one of the lyrics that I started to hear a lot of when I was involved with my single mommy relationship. Blending families. I didn't even know what the hell that was. Blending families. I think that guys never think about this or never crosses their mind. It's not something that's on the radar screen, but I don't know, maybe through a function of the Brady Bunch or some other source where they get it from, their book club, their ya-ya clubs, their salsa dancing clubs, whatever it might be. They come up with the idea of blending families, which is a friendly way of saying, let's move in together under the same roof and blend our families. And, you know, let's act as if we're one, like that's some natural, you know, thing that would happen on any given course of a day. And does it happen a lot? It happens a lot, man. But a lot of guys really have a hard time with it for the reasons that I've mentioned earlier. But this is the big risk, and it comes to your daughters. If you decide to spend a lot of time with a single mommy that's got boys that start going through puberty, and you've got a young daughter, and you're spending overnights, I'm going to start connecting some dots here for you. The biggest risk to a little girl is non-blood relatives in the same household. Okay, so that means stepbrothers, another man, sort of thing like that. But you got problems in that scenario. And I don't know about you guys, but I've met and I've talked to a lot of women that have had issues growing up in this new age divorce world that, you know, where men and women can't keep their shit together. And, you know, women watch Eat, Pray, Love, and they think, all right, I'm going to be one of the 70 or 80%, just leave this guy because there's some better stuff on the other side. I'm going to take the kiddos with me and everything will be tickety-boo. But nobody thinks about this, right? Now, all of a sudden, her boys are going through puberty. You bring your daughter into the mix. You blend families because that's what you're supposed to do because that's what she says. You don't put any thought into it. Now your daughters are exposed to risks in that household from these other boys. And that's where that can be a big, big problem. Another big risk that a lot of guys run into that they don't recognize until after the fact. Let's say you're in a relationship with a single mommy for 3, 5, 7, 10 years, and it doesn't work out, which they inevitably don't. Women have a hard time pair bonding in a healthy way to men over a long-term basis when the societal norm keeps telling them, well, just move on. You can do better, girl. You know, they tell guys, you do what's right. This is why guys man up and swoop in and play the captain to save her. But they tell women something different, right? Again, they tell guys, do what's right. They tell women, you do what's right for you, girl. So they get it in their head. It's not working out with this guy. Brefault's law kicks in. He's not serving my needs. It's too hard. My kids are acting out. They're saying that they don't like him, blah, 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 insert whatever reason. And then they bounce, right? And guess what ends up happening? Look, if you're married and you have kids, chances are you're going to see your kids. You've got a relationship with them. They're yours. But imagine you've got kids already from a prior marriage for a few years. You get involved with a single mommy for 5 or 6 or 7 years, something like that. You've helped the kids do stuff. You've zeroed in the scope on the BB gun. You've played Mortal Kombat with little Bobby. You know, you've done all that stuff. You never see them again, even though you've formed a bond and a relationship with them. That's another big risk a lot of guys have, and they have a hard time. I remember I was talking to this one guy. He's like, I can't believe that she lied to me, started banging my best friend. He lied to me. And that kid still got my dirt bike, and I bought that thing for him to take him out and do, you know, insert all these other things and all these trips and stuff like that. You're going to have problems with that. Mike Howard here says, I found this channel after recently breaking up with a single mom of a little girl. Honestly, I miss the kid some, but her mom and her extended family were united in raising her wrong. Yeah, and I'll tell you right, what's up, guys? Do not let her make her problems your problems. So that's your big risk that most guys don't consider. Now, I'm going to talk to you guys about when it might be ideal to get involved with a single mommy. We'll finish off on a better note. Here's the thing. If none of these conditions exist, okay, so I'm going to go through them again. Cuckoldry you can't do anything about, so that's always going to exist. You know, you're basically signing up for your own cuckoldry when you start to raise another guy's kids. Let's say you have responsibility and authority. Okay, so let's tick off that box. If you have responsibility with authority with her because she supports you, she enters your frame, she supports your mission, she's a complement to your life, not the focus of it, and she allows you, funny that I have to allows, you know, and you have responsibility and authority in connection with those two things, which let's be honest, this is unlikely, but let's say that it is there. Let's tick off the box. So there's number one, you have responsibility with authority in that relationship. She does not have a victim mindset. She does not subscribe to any kind of like third wave feminist ideology where the patriarchy needs to be smashed and all men are bad and I'm not going to make you sandwiches or anything like that. If she does not have a victim mindset, and if you are able to have responsibility in conjunction with authority, let's keep going. There's two right there. Okay, what are the chances of those two happening? We're already pretty slim. Let's go to financial issues now. Let's say she doesn't have any financial issues. There's no student loan debt. She doesn't have a liberal arts degree with $100,000 in debt and nothing going on. She's got it together, okay? Maybe she set up her own company and she's highly successful and makes $250,000 a year like you do as well, as Kevin from sales, right? You have a scenario like that. Let's tick off that box. So there's three now, okay? And the last one, your reprioritization. Let's say she does not, because this kind of goes hand in hand with the ones earlier. But let's say that you do not need to reprioritize your life. You still have your boys' weekend. You can still go boating. She's not going to curtail any of your hobbies. And again, she's a complement to your life. She's not the focus and all that sort of stuff. Thanks, Marco. Appreciate that. Then, and only then, if you have children that are the same age and the same gender, then it might be, and she's hot still, okay? Obviously, you know, you got to be attracted to her. Then and only then, it might be ideal to date a single mom. Now, I ask you, what are the chances of her not having a victim mindset? You have responsibility and authority hand in hand. Financial issues are not, you know, a problem. She's not bringing debt to the table with other men, with other men's children in some cases. And you don't need to reprioritize your life where you come in like seventh place behind the pecking order of her kids, her kids' needs, her work issues, the fight that she had with Becky the other day in HR, her big wine drinking nights, her salsa nights with her girlfriends and her cats. if all of those things are out of the way and you do not have to reprioritize and your kids are about the same age and the same gender, because again, if she's got a son and you bring a daughter to the table, you got risk involved. You got the big risk involved. You're going to expose your daughter to potential risk. Then it might be ideal to date a single mom. Okay. There you have it, guys. This is straight out of one of the chapters coming from my upcoming book. If you haven't gotten on the email list, I'm going to drop it up on the screen here. It's also pinned in the top comment below. So if you go to entrepreneursandcars.com/red-flags, you can get the free chapter on red flags. You'll also get on my email list, and I'll notify you when the book's available. It's coming very soon. It's just final edits right now. We're just getting it all sorted out. It will be available in print, Kindle, and eventually Audible. Kindle will come out first. Print probably next, and Audible probably last. There's some things required to get those formatted properly, but this component here will be added to the book. It is a great piece, and that's that. So get on the list. The other thing is we're doing a Rule Zero live event, and let me just put this up on the screen here because I got to do some housekeeping here before I go. We're doing a Rule Zero live event in we're going October. Let me grab it here. The dates are, so registration opens. I'll put it up on the screen here to show you guys. Also, if you're on my email list, you'll get access to this opportunity to grab a ticket too. It is October 2nd and 3rd. It's a 2-day event. We have Rolla Tomasi, myself, Ryan Stone, John from Modern Life Dating, Troy, Myron, Aaron Cleary, Paul, John Fitch, and Sterling Cooper. Very, very quickly, Rolla's going to be talking about religion and the red pill. I'll be talking about vetting for long-term relationships or potential marriage, even though I'm vehemently opposed towards marriage. A lot of you guys keep asking me how to do it right. I'll give you everything I got on this, okay? Ryan's talk, I don't think he's announced his yet. I know John's going to be on Sex to Sales. Troy's going to be talking about approach and how to do that properly. Myron's in Miami, so he's going to be talking about game in large coastal cities. Aaron's got an interesting one on the ROI of chasing women versus chasing excellence, practically, is what it boils down to. So it's a lot of that soundbite that I talk about. Is it even on this mug? Yeah, it's even on this mug today. You know, chase excellence, not women. Paul runs Harem Game, so he'll be talking about how to run a basically Alpha God stuff. So if you've read Dr. Hector Garcia's Alpha God, he's going to be breaking down Harem Game for you. John Fitch is going to be talking. He's an MMA fighter, by the way. I think he's got a fight coming up this week. You can also follow him in on Instagram. He's going to be talking about the importance of men's requirement, his obligation to duty to be physically strong and have the capacity for violence. And Sterling Cooper, an adult film performer, is going to be talking about what he's good at. So yeah, make sure you're on this list over here, guys, below me on entrepreneursofcars.com/red-flags, because you'll get notified when registration opens. It's on September 12th to 16th. It's a very short window. It's an online event. Unfortunately, COVID's made it prohibitive to host a in-person event. Only a lunatic would host a in-person event of this size in a city and put people in a room and expose them to those risks. So we're taking the conservative approach to this. Doing it the proper way. We still intend to have an in-person event next year once all this nonsense with COVID lifts. Hopefully the Vegas Strip will open again for us fully and, you know, we can get straight into it. But that's the Rule Zero live event. Let's remove that and go full screen. And before I wrap up, let me grab this super chat here real quick. Stephen E says, what advice do you have for a guy who hasn't been in a relationship in about 23 years and made a lot of mistakes and wasn't high value to say the least, but I'm chasing excellence now, I'm 41. Well, your ROI on where you are right now will be greater on chasing excellence than chasing any kind of tail, because you're gonna be left with what's out there, which is not great if you're not in the top. I'm not even saying being the top 5% or 1%, but if you're not in the top 20%, we already know that women's swiping habits on dating apps, the bottom 70%, so a 3 out of 10, so a 3 all the way up to a 10 out of 10 is swiping right on men that are 8 out of 10 or higher. That's just the way that it is. So if you're not in the top 20%, your ROI is going to be best served on doubling down on yourself, reinvesting on yourself, call it monk mode, call it whatever the hell you want, But I would work on yourself, not chase any tail, because you're going to be severely disappointed for the most part based on the results you're going to get. Tuscan says, great production as usual. Everyone stays strong. Chase excellence. Thanks, brother. And last but not least, I'm going to talk about tactical soap for a minute because Scott sent me these pheromone, solid cologne pheromone boosters, he calls these. These just came out. He sent me these samples. So they're kind of like, I don't know how to put it. They're like deodorant sticks, but they're smaller, almost like travel size. So I think these, you wouldn't have any issues on aircraft, not that you'd want to travel right now because of sitting in a tube for 5 hours with a stupid mask on your face. But anyway, so if you're showering with Bond, which is a pheromone-infused product, it's a soap, you've gone swimming, you've sweat a little bit, it's halfway through the day, you got a date coming up, you just whip out your stick, give it a little, you can throw it on your wrist wherever you want. So it's just a booster. It smells exactly like the product. It's an all-natural product. I was looking at the ingredients because you guys know how I am with estrogenics. And I've talked to Scott about this. I'd only promote something that's clean. It's a nice little perk. So if you guys want to check those out, they've got these three products for the originals, Durden, Maverick, and Bond. Again, they're pheromone-infused soaps. They're handmade in the United States. It's a high-quality product. It is the official channel sponsor for my channel. So if you guys enjoy the content, you're showering anyways, you might as well grab that. These new ones up over here, he says he will be having the sticks. What did he call them again? Booster sticks. Fragrance and booster sticks is what I'm going to call them. I'm probably butchering it. But click that link below or just go to coopersoap.com. You check out with coupon code Cooper, you get 10% off. I think actually the coupon code's pre-applied to this website if you just go here. But check that out. So be back next Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the next broadcast. I've got at least a dozen videos I got to pump out this week. And if you haven't gotten onto my Clips channel, just search on YouTube. I'm taking longer format stuff like Before the Train Wreck, and my editor's breaking it down into tighter sound bites, usually like 5 minutes long, and they're all going on the Clips channel. So search for Rich Cooper Clips on YouTube and subscribe there, because that's where a lot of the shorter clips and tight sound bites end up if you don't watch live. Thanks for watching. If you guys are watching on podcast, sorry, listening on podcast, give it a rating, thumbs up if you're on YouTube's, and leave me a comment below. We'll see you guys in the next video. Thanks for watching. Peace out.